Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So what did you think of Tropic Thunder?
20-year-old Justin would have loved it.
I think that is absolutely appropriate and fair.
Because 40-year-old Justin is...
You hate to say it, but more mature.
Only just, yes.
Only just, but still. For those of you tuning in and don't know what's going on, movies that slipped under our radar, and this time I asked Justin to watch Tropic Thunder, when did this come out? Not 2008, yeah. 2008 comedy. They say it's a satire. I guess it is. It's satirizing the actors of Hollywood more than it is, I think, any particular genre, though.
Yeah, fair.
Right. So the story starts out, picture a Vietnam-era war movie starting out, and you've got the actors, and it's very intense, and a bomb goes off, or ordnance explodes, and the main character that you see of running, he's laying there without his hands, and... The scene just goes on and a little bit too long, and it gets awkward long, and then somebody yells, cut, and you realize you're watching a movie. The movie Tropic Thunder is a movie inside of a movie.
Yeah.
A Vietnam veteran, a guy named John Tabak, Four Leaf, for his good luck, I guess.
Sure.
Has written a movie, and it's going to be made into a, written a book, it's going to be made into a movie, and you've got a cast of actors who are doing it that are all prima donnas in their way. So you've got Tug Speedman, played by Ben Stiller, an aging, action hero. You've got Robert Downey Jr. as Kirk Lazarus in blackface.
Yep.
That's
a thing.
The only reason that this gets away with it is because of the way they lampoon it.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2021, I don't know that they lampooned it enough.
No.
And then you've got Jack Black playing, a drug-addled comedian.
Yes.
Think Eddie Murphy type thing, where it's one actor who plays all the roles in the family.
Uh-huh.
And the humor is all built around, flatulence.
Yep.
Anyway, the actors are all terribly, terribly too much for the director to be able to control. You get the sense that he's a first timer.
Mm-hmm.
Enough so that it ends up blowing a $1 million fire stunt, where they blow up a huge part of the jungle.
Yep.
And Les Grossman, the produced studio head, played by Tom Cruise in what might be the best role I've seen Tom Cruise play. Come on.
Yeah.
It's just so over the top funny.
Mm-hmm.
Who basically says, get to the director, get control of your actors, or I pull the plug. And so John Tabak, the guy who's on set with his two hooks for hands, and says, well, we need to take him out into the shit. So they rig up a whole bunch of cameras, and they're going to just drop him in the jungle and say, here's the script. You need to get to these places. As he's walking out, steps on a landmine and blows up.
Yep.
Everyone believes this except for Tug Speedman, Ben Stiller's character, the main character, who's like, I've been in a lot of special effects heavy movies. This is all just corn syrup, he says as he digs his finger into the disembodied head and like licks it. It's like, terrible blood tasting corn syrup.
Yep.
Somehow convinces the rest of these actors that it's all just a show. and to keep going with the movie, where they walk right into what the Golden Dragons, is it something like that?
Yeah.
A heroin outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And Tug gets captured and the rest of them have to rescue him. And it, the plot of the movie is not really terribly important. They do. It's a movie, you know, and it has a good ending. This is one of those where you pay attention to the characters, and that's where I'd like us to focus on. But before we get to the characters, tell me what you were thinking while you went through this, and then we'll talk about the controversy before the characters.
What I was thinking when I was watching it was, oh man, okay, that was kind of funny. Oh man. There was just so... There's a lot to process in this movie.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to... Not only just for the characters, but what's going on with those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like you are put in front of an all-you-can-eat buffet where what's on the menu sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get there, it doesn't look that appetizing. But you're kind of contractually obligated to eat at the buffet.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, you don't regret eating there because some of the food was good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know you're not going to go back.
And I thought you were going to say, it's like, imagine going to a buffet, but then being told you have to try all of the food. It's like, some of it will be good and some of it won't be, but you've got to try all of it. And there's just too much to be able to enjoy the good parts enough.
Yeah. That works too.
It's that kind of movie.
It is, yes.
It is that kind of movie. And 2008, and this movie courted a huge amount of controversy, specifically with mentally disabled or a mentally handicapped population.
Yes.
So Tug Speedman, like I said, aging action movie. Mm-hmm. And the movie begins with like five or six different movie previews.
Yes.
You know,
which I did think was a nice touch. I'm like, okay.
It really worked out well. The thing is that he was an action star, so he wasn't getting any kind of critical accolades for things. And so he did a poorly conceived movie wherein he played a mentally handicapped individual.
Yes. That's not the word they use in the movie, though.
It is not. They use the R word pretty frequently and crassly.
And flippantly, yes. Just
now, I have an opinion on it, but I want to be careful about it.
Okay.
So the movie is about making fun of Hollywood tropes, Hollywood actors.
Yes.
And there's this distinct feeling that they're making fun of the actors who choose those movies for awards, because that's kind of the impression we get, is that, you know, that Tug's doing this because he finally wants recognition that he's a good actor.
Yeah.
It doesn't come across that way well enough.
No.
And what it comes across as is that it's making fun of people that have these handicaps.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the characters are talking about this movie in the movie, mm-hmm. it's like, you went too far. You know, you don't go all the way.
You went full.
Yeah. Full R word.
Yes.
Is a thing there. And the idea, it rightfully received criticism for that.
Yes.
It was poorly conceived and poorly executed.
Absolutely.
Recognizing that. Okay. So we're recognizing that controversy, and I happily recognize that part of the movie really falls flat,
mm-hmm.
and to the point where it's near painful to watch now.
Oh yeah.
2008, I'm not going to say we didn't know any better, because we most certainly did.
We should have.
But I've matured in the past 12 years.
Absolutely, yes.
So, doesn't excuse, just helps explain. I recognize that now. But let's talk about the characters.
Okay.
Because I think that the characters are what made this worth watching in the first place. Okay. I don't know where you stand on Ben Stiller as an actor. But he does so well as Tug Speedman, this over-the-top, gung-ho action movie guy who's so convinced that that he is a good actor when he's just kind of an average actor in the right line of work, you know. And he's always set out trying to prove himself. Like, everything that he's doing is about proving himself. The first scene that goes on so uncomfortably long is about he's unable to cry because Robert Downey Jr.'s, you know, Kirk Lazarus,
yeah,
can cry on a dime.
Yeah.
He's just like, should both of us be crying? I mean, we're men, you know.
Yeah.
And so everything that he does is all based on this idea of, like, I'm just as good as Kirk Lazarus. I'm just as accomplished. Even though Kirk Lazarus is, you know, five-time award-winning, you know, Oscar winner. And that was the best preview, by the way.
Oh,
Was with Kirk Lazarus and Tobey Maguire as the monks, the Catholic monks.
Yes. Five-time Academy Award winner, Kurt Lazarus, and MTV's Teen Choice Award, Tobey Maguire.
Now, Kirk Lazarus, Robert Downey Jr.'s character, is one of the method actors.
Yes.
And so it talks about...
For those of you who don't know what method acting is, they immerse themselves into the world of the character and embody that character physically and mentally. They become that character.
And in this case, that involved having surgery in order to dye his skin.
Yep.
To play the role of an African-American male.
Mm-hmm.
And do the voice and the contact lenses. And it's...
Uh-huh.
It's another one of those things where somehow this gets a pass easier than the R-word stuff.
Yeah. Which surprises me.
And I don't remember who plays the character of Al Pacino.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
But I think it's because his character is continually calling out on this, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Who are you? What makes you think any of us talk like that?
Yeah.
You know, everything's contextual, man. You're playing just a bundle of stereotypes. And it's that bundle of stereotypes that kind of makes the character funny. Because everyone's calling him out on the stereotypes. It's like, you know, don't use that word. What do you mean? You know, and I like the character and his growth through, and then his breakthrough moment when he loses his mind. He's like, I'm a dude disguised as a dude playing another dude.
Yeah.
He's like, and then he like takes out his contacts and he's got these, you know, brilliant blue eyes.
Yeah.
He's just like, I don't know who I am.
So really? He switches to Australian accent, like, whoa.
Yeah, because he's an Australian, and he switches to that right as, you know, bullets are flying and bombs are going off. Yeah. They're trying to make the daring escape and rescue from the heroin camp. Jack Black's Jeff Portnoy.
Yeah.
His is the least offensive somehow. Which I don't expect out of Jack Black, quite honestly.
Between those three, yes.
A drug addicted, heroin addicted, you know, heavyweight comedian actor. Mm-hmm. And along the way, lose. And again, you get the sense that he's in this movie in order to prove his acting chops. You know, no one ever takes him seriously. He's just nothing but farts, you know.
Yep.
And so being in this particular role, you get the sense is like, it was like when Jim Carrey did Truman Show, I think, came first, you know, it was a serious role,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it was still kind of comedic. And then he did The Majestic.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what are you doing? Aren't you a comic? Why are you doing these serious movies? Back before we knew that he could do serious movies. Kind of the same with Robin Williams. When Robin Williams shifted over into some of those more serious roles, it's like, aren't you a comedian? Why are you doing these things, you know. Mm-hmm. The thing is, Jack Black himself is a good actor for those things.
Oh, yeah.
You almost always know that it's Jack Black, but the characters, the roles that he picks are good for him.
Yes.
In that regard. There are other actors. I think Nick Nolte's in this.
Yeah, he plays the real-life Four-Leaf.
Who, it turns out, is not actually handicapped. He was in the Coast Guard. He never served outside of the United States. He wrote his memoir as a tribute.
Yeah. He's walking around the first half of the movie with hook hands, and in the end, they're fake. He has real hands underneath.
Mm-hmm. So, I shudder to ask, but where do you land on this one?
I don't think I'm ever going to watch it again.
I agree. It'd been a while since I'd seen this one.
Yeah.
And watching it again, I'm just like, I think I'll just watch the Tom Cruise dancing scene at the end on YouTube. And that will be fine.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to see this again.
Like I said, 20-year-old Justin would have loved this because it was just, I mean, that was about the time that I had seen, you know, Zoolander and mm-hmm. Dodgeball and all those other stupid Ben Stiller movies.
Mm-hmm.
But funnily enough, with the exception of Dodgeball, every Ben Stiller movie I've seen, I've only seen once. I've never gone. I saw Zoolander in college, and I laughed my tuchus off. Mm-hmm. I went out and bought it on DVD, and I never watched it.
I still haven't.
Yeah, you're not missing much. Although, side note, the one scene with David Bowie, yes.
Well, it is David Bowie.
It is David Bowie.
Yeah.
This is... I don't hate that I watched it.
Okay.
I don't hate it as a movie. I've seen far worse.
We've watched far worse together,
yes. Our friendship is still intact. Good. I'm never going to watch this again, though.
And I probably won't either now that I've... I watched it in 2008. I probably watched it again 5 or 6 years later, you know, and just kind of let it wash over me. And then I watched it again this week, you know, with you here. And it's like, yeah, I think I'm good. I think I've probably seen this movie at least once too many times.
Yeah.
So, well...
I will say the character of Sandusky I did like.
Yeah. The red shirt that ended up not being the red shirt.
Yeah, like the one actor who went to the Army boot camp and learned a thing or two and was kind of the voice of reason throughout the whole thing.
Who is trying so hard.
Trying so hard, yeah.
He's the one that you expected to die.
Yeah, exactly.
So, glad that he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that it didn't live up to even my expectations. That being said... I think it's your turn to pick next.
I think it is, and I've got something.
All right.